You're listening to Irish Sports Talk. Hello, Notre Dame fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 349. And today is not our typical recap podcast, but we do want to look back at the beginning of the season, some of our thoughts, our expectations for where Notre Dame was to start with before the season started, and how those expectations have been ironed out. There's some recruiting news, and we have an article over on the website, irishsportstalk.net, from Solon, and he raises the question, which most fans have thought of and many are in favor of, is Brian Kelly's time at Notre Dame up? Should he be let go? So he does a great job going through some different numbers, looking at Brian Kelly's career, looking at Charlie Weiss, and some reasons why that might or might not happen. So check that out. It's over on the homepage of the website. And I guess let's just start off with, since we're kind of on that topic, Jack Swarbrick did come out and say that Brian Kelly will be leading Notre Dame out of the tunnel opening day next year. So, and I don't know if it was necessary, but I'm glad he did, just to maybe put any kind of ease the minds of the recruits that are committed to Brian Kelly and this coaching staff.
Well, I can understand them saying that, but at the same time, Brian Kelly was the one that mentioned that, Brian Van Gorder was, you know, the man for the job, and on, and then they fire him, you know, basically the next day or two.
That is a good point. And just to be clear, I believe Brian Kelly gives Notre Dame the best chance, short-term and long-term, to get to the playoff and to continue building this program. And
yeah, basically where I'm at is he can be. It's whether he chooses to or not.
Well, I think he will. I think he chooses to.
So far, he hasn't chosen
this
to make
year.
The right.
This
yeah,
year.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting. But I do have to throw in that it was actually a good weekend in the sports world. Saturday, well, the Cubs are going to the World Series. And then Ohio State lost soon after that. And Notre Dame didn't lose on Saturday. And the Colts won, so it was actually a pretty good weekend.
I'm hoping for the Colts to lose, because I think they do need a reboot on that program, starting with the GM.
Well, it's at the point that Sunday I was trying to decide if I want them to lose so that I can get my pick right in the fantasy league I'm in. It's a bad year. Here's what I tell people when they ask me about the Colts, is that last year they have a player, Mathias Farley, is getting playing time every week on the Colts defense, and he was not a full-time starter last year on Notre Dame's absolutely horrendous defense, and he is getting playing time on the Colts defense as a rookie in the NFL. So I'd say that tells you. That basically tells you where their defense is at.
Where the Colts are at, or where Brian Van Gorder, Notre Dame's defense was at
last
year.
Where the Colts are at now.
Well, I think it's also telling about Notre Dame and Brian Van Gorder, as far as not getting a guy like that on the field.
Oh. Well, I mean, he was on the field quite a bit. He just wasn't a full-time starter.
And I was not a fan of Mathias Farley. I thought there were other players that could perform better.
Yeah, but he is playing safety for the Colts as a rookie, So basically, yeah, we think Notre Dame's defense is bad, but if an NFL team has a bad defense and is using those guys, you know it's really bad. So, anyways.
Right. Before the season started, I had tweeted out some poll questions regarding touchdowns by the tight end groups and an over and under, or a number that you guys could vote on if you think it's going to be over or under. We did a handful of those before the season started, so we're just going to go through those and look where we're stacking up. So for total touchdowns by the tight end group, that was at 3.5, and Tony and I had picked the under, Randall had picked the over. Currently they're at one touchdown, And I don't think that they're going to be getting...
At one.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be getting over that mark this season. And as far as the poll, 84% of the fans, listeners, had voted for over on that. So majority of the listeners definitely agreed with you, Randall. Do you have any comments about the tight end group?
That could still be... By the end of the season, that could still...
It could change because it just takes a few.
Yeah.
Next one was total touchdowns by any wide receiver was at 9.5. You and I, Randall, had picked the under. Tony had picked the over, and he went so far as to pick a player, and he picked Equanimeous St. Brown. And the favorite going into it was definitely Torrey Hunter, but he only has one touchdown pass at this point. And EQ does have six, so... Definitely a very good chance, likely, in fact, that he will get over, will get 10 or more touchdowns.
And I will say maybe part of the reason that Torrey Hunter is, I guess you wouldn't say struggling, maybe not, he's not doing what we expect him to. He ended up getting married this past week on the bye week. So I'm sure his mind has been on that. You don't just, oh, hey. Why don't we get married the bye week? I mean, I'm sure he's put in a lot of time and effort into that, and it just makes you wonder, if maybe he didn't have as much time as he needed to. I'm sure he was trying, but maybe just didn't have as much time as he needed to focusing on football. I just don't think it's... If I'd be playing football at Notre Dame, I wouldn't be trying to get married in the middle of the season.
And the next one was total passing yards was at 3,359.5 total yards for the season. Currently, Notre Dame is at just under 1,850. They're just a few under that. So they and this is not halfway through the season. We're one game over halfway. So there's definitely a chance Notre Dame could eclipse that mark, and I'm guessing they probably will. You and I, Randall, had picked the under on that one, and Tony had picked the over. And I was re-listening to that episode where we were doing this, and Tony said, because the defense is going to be so bad, Notre Dame will have to pass to win games. And he definitely was right that the defense would be bad, which has been changing some. Any thoughts on the passing game?
No, I'd say Tony was pretty accurate on that.
All right, and then rushing yards by any player... At 1,000 yards. Will there be a 1,000-yard rusher? All three of us picked the over on this one, including 82% of the Twitter followers picked the over. So far, Josh Adams is the closest to that with 416 yards. And then the second leading rusher is DeShone Kizer.
Yeah, we were off in the running back situation.
It's still close enough that with a few big games, Josh Adams could get there. But I don't think that he will.
It's going to be tough.
And part of that's also been, there's Tyrion Folston was slowed down early on, but he seems to be kind of getting his mojo back. And Dexter Williams, even though hasn't really been given a lot of opportunities, I think it's just going to be too spread out. Even if the running game gets going and they put up enough yards to get one of them over that point, just because it's kind of spread out, I don't think Josh Adams will crack that 1,000 mark.
No, not with the shape this run offense is, especially with the line and everything. I don't think they'll do it this year.
From the Twitter poll, 82% did pick the over, so a lot of people were high on the running game. All right, total rushing yards... 3,000. I still think back and remember this one. I was the only one that picked the over. Randall and Tony picked the under on this one. And 67% of the Twitter followers also picked the over on this one. Currently, Notre Dame is at 1,050 yards.
I remember someone saying that they're going to have about 1,200 yards at the end of the season, and I laughed. I just expected, everybody did, expected more out of this team, you know, especially what we saw last year.
But they will have more than 1,200 yards.
Yeah, oh, totally. but it's not as crazy as what it seemed like at the beginning of the year.
Here's one where we didn't have a poll question for it, but we kind of added it into the podcast as we were going. Yards per play has gone up the last, actually, it's gone up every year under Brian Kelly, and it made a big jump last year up to 5.63 yards per play. And each of us did not think Notre Dame would be able to match that. We thought it would definitely be down from where it had been, but it is actually up. It's 5.97 yards per play.
Wow. And it would be a lot higher if it wouldn't have been for the last two games.
Yeah. And then Chris Finck. Receptions for Chris Finck is at 6.5. Each of us picked the over on that. He is at 3 right now. I still think that he'll get over 6.5. But currently he's at 3. And 68% of the poll was 68% over on that one. Points per game. This one's changed drastically the last few weeks. It was at 34.2 points per game, which is, I believe, what it was last year. And I picked the under, and Randall and Tony picked the over. And through the first five games, we were definitely over that mark. However, we are under that now. Notre Dame is at 30.3 points per game, and 67% picked the over on that one as well. So I do think it'll bounce back, and I'm still not sure that it'll get over the 34.2 points per game, but I definitely expect things to offensively to start scoring points again.
I don't think, with the schedule they have left, I don't think that they'll get over that point the rest of the year.
All right, and then now we're moving over to defense, and this is one where we missed it when we were doing the podcast, but it was how many rushing yards per game will Notre Dame give up, and it was at 120 rushing yards per game that the defense would give up. And this was very split on the poll. It was 51% said it'd be over, and I don't know what I would have said at the beginning of the year, so I'm not going to pretend like I could have picked an unbiased, or could now pick unbiasedly. But Notre Dame is giving up 180 yards rushing offense per game. Sacks by the linebackers. Each of us picked the under on this one. It's at 12.5 sacks from the linebackers group. 51%. The Twitter poll was 51% under as well. And Notre Dame is at 5 from the linebackers. 2 from Niles, 2 from Greer, and 1 from Anawalu.
Okay.
I still just don't think that they're going to get to 13. I mean, obviously, it's not in their favor because half the season's over. Their favor is that those sacks have come
in the last couple
in the
games,
last few games
since Van Gorder's left. It's been in the last three games. It could have been in the fourth game because they had one against Duke. I'm trying to remember who got the sack, but they didn't have any in the first couple games, so they could actually reach that mark. You know, at the pace they're going right now, they would actually reach it.
That is true. Interceptions by the defensive backs is at 10.5. Each of us picked the over. 56% picked the under on our Twitter poll. They're currently at 4. And man, that one definitely, I don't, that one's not going to happen. And then points per game. Notre Dame giving up 22 points per game was the line. And I had picked the over. You had picked the under. Tony had also picked the over. And Notre Dame is currently at 27.7. And that is coming down. 63% voted for the over as well on our Twitter poll.
Yeah, it's come way down in the last couple games. So at this rate, maybe we can get it down to 22.
And, all right, that was all of our over and under predictions that we did in that podcast. I've got a couple of things to discuss, obviously recruiting. But, Randall, when we were doing our opponents podcast on Thursday, we were talking about Miami, which they did lose. And I was waiting and watching to see what the spread would be for this game. And it started out, it was even to start with. However, right now, it is Miami by 2 points right now.
Oh, it is? Okay, at one point, it was Notre Dame by one.
Okay, so it's been going back and forth a little bit.
So, and your prediction was that Miami would
Miami would lose and Notre Dame would be favored.
I thought you said Miami would be favored.
No. Oh, okay. Maybe I said that, but I meant Notre Dame would be favored.
Okay. Well, I think Miami, I think you'll be changing your tune a little bit after this week's game.
About, you think Miami
about
still...
About Miami.
Well, here's the thing. Notre Dame's lost 2 in a row, and it's 2-5. Miami's lost 3 in a row. But we'll get to more of that.
There's nothing
on
better
Wednesday
to fix that problem than to play Notre Dame. So.
Well, that that is true. Let's talk a little bit recruiting. Notre Dame lost a big one in Jeter.
Well, we talked about it last week already. How he decommitted from Notre Dame after his visit, and he'd been at Notre Dame for the Stanford game, and then he decommitted on a Tuesday. You know, so he was committed to Notre Dame for 29 days. Well, then, you know, he sent out tweets saying that, his tweet said, "I don't want Notre Dame fans to think I'm not coming back. I want to see other schools, and I don't want to take other officials as a Notre Dame commit." And he said, he also said that Notre Dame was still, you know, his top school. And so everybody's like, okay, whatever, that's what he's saying, you know, he's just being nice, he's taking other visits. I personally said he wouldn't come back to Notre Dame. And he also said there was an article from a newspaper in Pittsburgh that had some, you know, he said all that about Notre Dame, but then this article said that, well, you know, he wants to be part of a good program, that, you know, a winning program, because he feels he's that kind of player. He doesn't want to be on a mediocre team. And we talked about that last week. So that everybody kind of took that as, you know, Notre Dame obviously isn't at the place where he thinks they're good enough to win and where he should be. And he also mentioned that, you know, he's going to take these other visits, see other schools, and that he wasn't going to commit until December because it wouldn't be fair to commit while his high school team is in the playoffs. And so he's going to commit in December and then enroll in January. So, okay, that's fine. So his first visit is to Michigan this past weekend. Well, wouldn't you know it, yesterday, he commits to Michigan. So 5 days after he decommits from Notre Dame and says all this stuff, he's committed to Michigan. And so obviously my first, when he's on a campus, he's very impressed, which he admitted that's what happened at Notre Dame. And all I can say is I hope Michigan better hope he doesn't take any other visits.
Okay, and there was also an article from a newspaper where he said that one of the differences between
here's what he said.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, he said he thought about Pitt again, but he really looked at Michigan and Harbaugh, and Harbaugh had a lot to do with it. And here's his quote. "He doesn't act like he's important. He doesn't act like he's one of the best coaches in the country," said Jeter. "He's real down to earth and humble. He's easy to talk to. Talking to Brian Kelly wasn't fun. It wasn't cool. You have to make an appointment just to go to his office. Coach Harbaugh has an open door policy. Every one of Michigan's coaches has an open door policy." So
there's a couple different ways to react to this, and maybe the initial one is Notre Dame doing something wrong with their how the coaches interact or what the policy is to get a hold of them?
Here's one more thing I'll throw in. Then today he tweeted out, or late last night, is like at 1 o'clock this morning actually, he said, "I want to apologize about the comments made about Brian Kelly. He did nothing but offer me a chance to play great and get a great education. At no time did I mean to disrespect Coach Kelly or the team."
So here's my thoughts on that. Coaches and players, sometimes it's not a good fit. The personality of the coach might clash with the personality of the player, and that's just the way it is. That's fine. And I don't want Brian Kelly to go and change who he is or how he handles his players and how he recruits them. Because a lot of kids are coming, we're getting good classes. I don't want all the, and a lot of kids probably would prefer more of a professional type relationship with the coach where it's not as casual.
Well, I will say Brian Kelly is way more professional than Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh is out with recruits, having sleepovers and climbing trees and doing all kinds of weird stuff. So maybe you can relate more to younger kids because he acts pretty crazy. Brian Kelly is more professional. And the comments about the open door policy, that's whatever. A guy can't, you know, that has a high school. If you have a kid that's in high school, you can't just go to Michigan and walk into Jim Harbaugh's office. You still, you know, you've got to be the right person. It's got to be, you know, that's what they showed him on his visit. And I guarantee you that somebody like Nick Saban isn't the most friendly guy. You aren't just going to walk into his office either. You know, I've heard stories about Saban, you know, all the stuff they do when they bring recruits into his office. He's got these huge doors and windows, and he pushes one button and everything closes. I mean, he shows off, you know, all this stuff he's got in his office. It's pretty impressive, and they're wowed by that. But
and some kids love it, and some kids don't.
Us right now, the way this recruiting goes, I think he is a better fit at Michigan with Harbaugh because this is a crazy recruitment and doing crazy stuff, and he can go drink a glass of milk with his steak with Harbaugh. So I don't think it's, you know, he said this stuff about Brian Kelly. Everybody that hates Notre Dame is going to latch onto that and, you know, say, oh, you know, this Brian Kelly just doesn't relate to the players, on and on and on. It's, every kid's going to look at it different. Some people want that, you know, the guy that you need to make an appointment because he's important and you're important enough to get a meeting. You know, he's not just going to let anybody walk into his office. He's not just going to let us walk into his office, you know, and talk to him. And so it's just every kid is different. You're not going to get all of them. Obviously, he's a very good player. You know, it would be great to have him at Notre Dame, but obviously that's not going to happen. So basically, I think Jeter, I still don't think you should be tweeting nasty stuff at him. He's just a kid making a decision, doing what he thinks is right. I mean, he should maybe shut down his Twitter account.
Is he getting a lot of hate from Notre Dame fans?
Well, even when I tweeted something out, we got some replies that said, you know, they hope he has a terrible career at Michigan. Why would you wish that on a teenage kid? You're the one acting like a kid now,
yeah,
and unprofessional. So, anyways,
well, where all is the best to him. Where is Notre Dame at as far as do they need another defensive end to kind of...
Yes, they need defensive linemen. Just, I mean, look at how the defensive line recruiting has been. Jerron Jones will be leaving after this year.
And Isaac Rochelle.
Yeah. And the guys you have right now, even the second string, aren't the highly ranked guys. Aren't, you know, they haven't had that home run play. Well, you could say, you know, Dalen Hayes and Khalid Kareem, some of those guys can maybe help out in the line. You know, they can, they're maybe, it has some potential. And Notre Dame has some other guys in this class, some other defensive linemen, but it's just so hard for them to get those top-ranked defensive linemen. And I think a lot of it just comes down to the...
Do you know, offhand, how many defensive linemen were there in the ones that are freshmen now, last year's class?
Last year's class... Maybe it was just a couple.
It wasn't more than four. Was it maybe three?
I could look at it.
And do you know how many they have this year? Because I remember a few years ago, the class with Micah Dutredway, there was five in that class.
Yeah, but none of them were, you know, very highly ranked in their projects, I guess you could say.
What I'm getting at is I think that needs to be the approach because we're probably not going to get a class where we have a Stephon Tuitt and a Aaron Lynch in one class.
Yeah. Well, right now, in this year's class, you have Kurt Heinisch. He's a defensive tackle. Jonathan McAllister is a defensive end. And Darnell Ewell is a defensive tackle. So you got three in this year's class. And
we probably need four or more every year.
You mean a total of four?
Yeah.
Yeah. It depends a lot on what kind of defense they're going to play. I mean, are they going to play a 3-4 or are they going to play a 4-3?
They're going to play a 3-4.
I agree with you.
The majority of the time.
And then that's, yeah. So maybe these guys will fit better. You can't have those, you know, it'll be harder to fit those hybrid guys in on the defensive line, you know, like we have. But, I mean, it seems like Brian Kelly's running his defense. It's a 3-4. So the other news, Amari Carter was a 4-star safety that Notre Dame was in his top list. But Saturday night he picked he picked Miami over Notre Dame. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens this next weekend, you know, Notre Dame playing in Miami. I doubt it'll make a difference, but still he picked Miami over Notre Dame.
Okay. Anyone else that Notre Dame's after that's going to be committing in the next week or two?
No, I don't think so. No, I mean, there's guys that are still interested. There's going to be guys visiting. But right now, a lot of the high school teams are in the playoffs trying to finish out their season. And so if they haven't committed now, a lot of them will wait till the season is over with, their season is over with at least, and then make an announcement.
Okay. All right, I did want to mention Pro Football Focus. We have a banner over on our website that you can click on. And over on Pro Football Focus, they've got great articles about college football, about the NFL. But primarily what they do is fantasy, NFL fantasy. And they do have their all-access fantasy, which is typically $140 for the season. But now they're dropping it. Their in-season rate is $40 cheaper. So you could get it for $100, and you can make sure you make the most of your fantasy football choices this season. All right, I think we're pretty much ready to wrap it up. I do just want to thank you guys. We have had a nice bump in our podcast listens, downloads this whole season. And so just want to thank you guys for that. Share it with a family or friend if you enjoy the podcast. Leave a review on iTunes. That definitely helps as well. So I just appreciate that and want to keep on continuing to grow the podcast and make it the best that it can be. All right, so thank you for listening. Wednesday, we'll be back to preview Miami. And I think I'm going to have to be eating some words because I've been saying if Notre Dame loses to Stanford, I don't think they make a bowl game. And so I believe that at the time, I still just have a hard time believing that Notre Dame loses this game. So I still haven't completely looked at everything or made up my mind exactly yet, but you'll be hearing that on our Wednesday podcast. So thank you guys for listening, and until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.